It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Now, Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "Do not leave the Jerusalem until you fill with the Holy Spirit." But here he says, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, that's the command to go. Because if you see St. John chapter 20, verse 21, when he comes, and then he says, go and preach. Go ahead.
Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you."
Okay, now here Jesus Christ said, as the Father sent me, I send you. So the command was given, go and preach. But I don't think at that particular time any disciples went anywhere to tell somebody. Even though these 500 people gathered, there is no proof that Peter or James or John or somebody went and said to people, let's gather together because Jesus Christ is going to go to heaven. As you remember, we learn about the resurrection. We don't have time right now, but we learn in St. John chapter 21. All these disciples went back to fishing. And when they went to fishing, they could not catch anything. Jesus comes early in the morning and he says, "Children, do you have anything to eat?" They said, "No." He said, "Well, put the net right side." At that time, John realized this is Jesus. They did it, and they got 153 fishes, big, giant fish. And then when they came to the shore, there was already bread and already fish cooking. And then Jesus gave the food to them. After this eating and everything, Jesus Christ said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than this?" And many people interpret like that. Jesus was asking, do you love me more than all other disciples? Do you think Jesus will ask that question? If you ask that question, that means you are spreading the bitterness. And so Jesus didn't say that. Jesus was saying, do you love me more than a fishing business? One time, you were a fisherman, and you gave up the fishing business, and you forsook all, and you followed me, and now you're going back to the fishing? Do you love this more? Means fishing business or money or world than your calling? And you know the story. He asked three times and he gave the answer to him. But that's not our subject right now. So point I was making, when Jesus Christ says, follow me, then he said, what's going to happen to John? He says, you don't worry about him. You follow me. And so he followed. And all other disciples followed, and that's the way they went to the mountain. At that time, Jesus did not tell them, today I'm going to go to heaven. That was a surprise to them. So that's why I believe they didn't go to anywhere to tell other disciples or other 500 people, let's go, today is the day of ascension. They didn't know that. Here, Jesus Christ is saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So what he's trying to say, all power. Now when somebody says all power, means all power. There is nothing remaining which Jesus Christ cannot do in heaven and on earth. And some people saying, oh, he didn't know even when he's coming back or the end of the world or things like that. How can he say all the powers and everything is in my hand? As I told you at that time, Jesus Christ did not want these disciples to know exact date and exact time. That's why he said it is in Father's hand, and Father did not reveal to any angels or anybody else. But as he is God, Jesus Christ was on earth at that time when they asked the question, he was still in human flesh. Once he went to heaven, now he knows everything. He knows timing, he knows everything, but that time he didn't tell. But right now he says, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, when you go, what are you doing? He said, teach all nations. He did not say, go and teach all our followers. Even though he said, Holy Spirit will come, book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you will be my witnesses, starting from what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. So here he did not give the direction how to do it because he said it already. Now here he's saying, teach all nations. Now there are so many people, they have narrow mind. They have barrier of language, color, nationality, and so they go to their own people. If you ask Indian people coming from South India, they have no desire to go and reach Americans. They just look for how many people coming from Kerala here, and they are Christians. In Kerala, there are so many different kinds of Christians. They have Jacobites, they have Marthamites, they have CSIs, they have Catholic, and then they have Pentecostal different groups. So what they do, when they find some Malayali, they will say, okay, what part of India are you coming, and what your denomination is, and according to that, say, oh, we have church like that, and then they go to their own language. When I came here, somebody came to me and said, Pastor Peter, you might be having Indian congregation. I said, no, sir. If I wanted to be an Indian pastor, then I didn't have to come to America. In India, I was, even the Indian pastors, I had all kinds of Indian groups, not only one language. I didn't say, okay, I'm from Maharashtra, so let's have all Marathi people. Or when I went to Gujarat, oh, let's have Gujarati church only. My church name was International Christian Fellowship. And so I wanted all international, all Indians, South Indians and Gujarati and Maharashtri and all kinds of people would come to my church. So that's what my calling was. I want to go to all over the world because that's the commandment. And so some narrow-minded people, they will have black church only, white church only, Philippine church only. They might be thinking, oh, this is good because we can understand better. But I believe when you are in America, you're supposed to know English, you're supposed to know American language, you're supposed to know American culture. But the Word of God is saying, we have to go to all the nations and preach the gospel. Now, here another thing is baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. You might be thinking, this is just a simple commandment. But people twisted this commandment. If you go to the Jesus-only group, they call themselves Pentecostal. And they have two groups in that. One group is called Apostolic. And so I said, can I ask you a question? What kind of Pentecostal are you? He said, oh, I'm just Pentecostal. I said, I know there are several groups. Could you tell me what group you're coming from? He said, I'm Apostolic. I said, do you believe Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Yes, I do. From his talk, I know he's something lying. He's not telling the truth. I said, okay, can I ask you a question? When you baptize the people, how do you baptize? Do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? He said, no. Why? He said, oh, Father is not a name. Son is not the name. I said, are you smarter than Jesus? When Jesus said it, baptize them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, Jesus didn't know how to say. Why I'm saying this, their founder, whoever founded this only Jesus or founded Apostolic Church, that person didn't know the truth. And so he himself was confused. And so the Word of God says, the Holy Spirit will come and guide you and teach you in all truth. And so one of the founders of Apostolic Church came and met me in India. And he started telling me that you should be baptizing the way we baptize and all your congregation, our congregation can be one. I said, sir, first of all, how do you baptize? And he started telling me, Father is not a name and Son is not a name. And so we baptize in Jesus' name. Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. I said, sir, you got it wrong. And this person also, I said, do you know Father is a person and Jesus Son is a person and Holy Spirit is a person? He could not believe it. I said, go and read in book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. And then you know. They were stoning to Stephen and he looked at the heaven and he saw heaven open and he saw Father and Son. I said, how come he could see Father and Son? He says, oh, Father is a spirit. I said, sir, yes. Jesus Christ says, St. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit. God, when you say God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were all in the spirit from the beginning. But Jesus Christ took the form of man, and then he became a man. And took a form of man. But in originally, they were all in the Spirit. That's what the Word of God says. Spirit is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were united in one Spirit. And but they are three persons, and they are not one person. And when I said that, this man didn't know even that scripture. I said, read it and find out. And so the point I'm making, we don't have this time, but when I teach about water baptism, I give all the detailed study about this scripture, how to baptize and what is the baptism is all about and what is the real baptism. And so here the Word of God is saying, whatever the commandment God has given to us, we have to obey. That one of the founders, when I met him, he said the Holy Spirit told us that you should be baptizing in Jesus' name. I said, sir, Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit will come and he will not say anything of his own. He will only tell whatever I taught you and remind you whatever I taught you. Holy Spirit cannot tell anything, interpretation, his own. And so we have to know in this kind of people come and they mesmerize. One time one lady came and she said, oh, Pastor Peter, I like you and I like your teaching, but if you could just baptize people in Jesus' name, I'll be very happy. I said, ma'am, I'm not here to please you. You should be knowing the truth. You got mixed up from some other denomination, but I am not going to change what I'm doing to please you. I said, you find out some apostolic church and go there and you'll be happy. But you don't come and try to teach our church member your doctrine. So the point I'm making, we should know the truth. The Word of God said, ye shall know the truth and truth shall set you free. But there are some people, they made up their mind, they don't want to listen, they don't want to listen the truth, and they block their mind like a lock. And so they are not teachable. They cannot learn. One person wrote to me from Sri Lanka and he says, Pastor Peter, there are so many doctrines are going around about water baptism. I am confused. Could you give me something Bible proof so I can go by? And so I gave him all the teaching about the water baptism and sent it to him. And when he studied, he wrote me back. He said, I'm so glad. Up to now, so many Bible study I studied about water baptism, I was not satisfied. But now I have something to go by. I'm not going to listen to anybody. This is what I'm going to preach. And so that's what the Word of God is saying. Ye shall know the truth and truth shall set you free. Jesus Christ has given us the truth and that's the way we have to preach it. Okay, verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 20.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Now see what he's saying. Teaching them. Here also said, teach all nations. Verse 19. And the verse 20 said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That means 3.5 years, day and night, disciples were with Jesus Christ. He said, whatever the doctrine, whatever the teaching, I gave it to you. Don't mix anything in that. Just give the pure teaching what you learn and tell them to obey it. And then he said, I will be with you until the end of the age. Now here we see Matthew gives some command, Mark gives some command. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 16, start reading from verse 16 to 18.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Now here somebody listens to this and they compare with the book of Acts chapter 16 verse 31. There the jailer says, what should I do to get saved? He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. He did not say anything about water baptism. So the people said, then there is no need of baptism. He said, you just believe Jesus Christ and you will be going to heaven. And they will give you the example of the thief on the cross. Now the thief on the cross, he believed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he says, when you come in your kingdom, please remember me. What Jesus Christ says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now somebody says, well, thief didn't take the water baptism. And so thief is in heaven. But I'm telling you, thief and the Saint Paul or Saint Peter will not have the same position. You understand? Thief, he just got saved. He didn't get baptized. He didn't fill with the Holy Spirit. He didn't do the missionary work. Do you think that thief and Saint Paul will have the similar place in heaven? No. If this thief had the chance and somebody would have taken him out of the cross, given chance to leave, do you think he would have said, I don't want to be baptized? He will surely say, if Jesus Christ is commanded to be baptized, I will surely get baptism. So here Jesus Christ says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That means, if you are a believer, you will not refuse to be baptized. Simple as that. He said, if you believe, what you believe? You believe in Jesus. What you believe in Jesus? I believe Jesus Christ, what he said. I believe what Jesus Christ want me to do. And whatever Jesus says, I love him and I'm going to follow him. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will obey me. Simple as that. If somebody says, I love Jesus, but I don't want to be baptized. I love Jesus, I don't want to read the Bible. I love Jesus, I don't want to go to church. I love Jesus, I don't want to pray. Is that person is really believing in Jesus? No. So if you believe in Jesus, then you obey what he says. This is a commandment. He says, if you believe, then you get baptized, then you will be saved. And so somebody says, what happened to the thief? Oh, thief got saved. But at the same time, Peter, Paul, or James, their position is not the same. Even the John the Baptist. Jesus Christ says, John the Baptist is the greatest man ever lived on this earth. From all the prophets and everybody, he is the greatest. But he says, there is a list in the kingdom of God, he will be greater than the John the Baptist. So there are positions, smaller and greater and greatest. And so according to what you did for the Lord, according to that you will get the position in heaven. You have to be believing in Jesus, and then you will be taking the baptism, then you will be saved. Verse 17.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Now here he says, if you believe in him, you will be doing healings and miracles and all of these things you will do. And the same time he said, they will speak in new tongue. The people take that new tongue out of it and they will say, oh, I believe and I do miracles. Other day one man called me from New York and he was in the same radio station where I was. And the radio station manager told him to talk to Pastor Peter. And so he called and he said, "You know, Pastor Peter, I'm in the same station where you are." I said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I do the healings and miracles, and people are coming to my church and this and that." So I said, "Sir, what is your denomination? What is your foundational teaching?" He says, "Well, I'm not Pentecostal." I said, "Doesn't matter, name." I said, "I want to know your experience." He said, "Well, I just believe in Jesus Christ." "Do you believe in immersion baptism?" "No." "Do you believe in Holy Spirit?" "No." "And so I just believe in Book of Mark." He says, "The believers will lay hand and sick will recover." I said, "Sir, in that scripture he says they will speak in new tongues. And so you have no desire to obey this. You just choose that I want to just pray for people and people get healed and that's all. But are you teaching them the full gospel doctrine?" "No." And so there are some kind of people got mixed up. Don't read the Bible properly. Don't study the word properly. And they just say, take a selected verses for them to satisfy them, and they make a doctrine out of it. So the Jesus Christ said, if you believe, you will be praying for people. People will get healed, delivered, and set free. But if you read in the Corinthians, he says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will have 9 different gifts. And the one of the gifts will be healing, gift of healing, gift of miracles, gift of faith. So if somebody ordinarily believes, okay, I pray for you and you will be healed, maybe today or maybe 5 years from now, but you'll okay. That's kind of prayer people do. You go to some ordinary churches and they give prayer requests. They say, "You have prayer requests?" "Yes." And they will, "Okay, gather all these paper. Okay, we will be praying for you. We'll lay hand and pray." But they will never call that person to the altar, or they will never lay hand and pray, and they will never say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed right now." And so why are they doing this? They go to the Mark and read, and so I'm a believer, I just lay hand, and sometimes they may not be laying hand, even though he says, "If you lay hand." So the point I'm making, we have to preach the full gospel, not half, not little. Okay, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 24, and start reading from verse 46.
"And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem."
Now here it says, when you're preaching, preach about repentance, tell them about their sin, and preach them, this is not for believers, this is all nations, starting from Jerusalem. Now in Matthew, did not say, preach about repentance, didn't say, preach and tell them you are a sinner and confess your sins. He just says, just go and teach all the nations. What Luke said, what Mark said, all Jesus said. They recorded in different way, but this is all Jesus teaching. This is not what Luke saying, this is Jesus saying. If you go and look at in your Bible, and if you have a red letters, you will see this is in red letters. And if you go to the Mark chapter 16 and start reading from 16 to 18, they're all red letters. Go to the Matthew and start reading from verse 18 to 20, they're all red letters. So from that, this is all the teaching of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ taught this, but the different author start thinking, I'm going to only write this portion and I'm going to write this portion. That's why we have 4 gospels. When all the gospels are read, and then we can get all one teaching. And so that's why we cannot say, oh, Matthew says that, so I just believe what Matthew says, and I don't believe what the Mark says. This is not Mark saying, this is not Matthew saying, this is not Luke saying, this is Jesus saying. So we have to take the teaching of Jesus. There are people making man-made doctrine. We are not under the law, we are under grace. But these people, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and some other denominations, they do half rituals of Old Testament and half teaching of the New Testament. people will tell you, oh, Jesus used to go to synagogue, so we have to go to synagogue. And Paul and Peter went to synagogue, so we have to go to synagogue. In those days, they were not churches. They were going to house and preach. Now, somebody made the doctrine, we should not have churches. Because those people didn't have the church, so they went to house, so we should go to house, we should not have building of our own. So all these silly doctrines, people make it, and people get convinced, okay, that's the way to do it. In the beginning, all the disciples, they were keeping all the widows and everybody, and they had food together and everything, and everybody was selling their property and giving the money to the Peter, and they said, oh, this is good community. That was not the plan of God. God did not tell them that, and they did not want to leave the Jerusalem. That's where the persecution came. When the Paul started persecuting the church, that's why Philip was the first one to left the Jerusalem and went to Samaria. And then other people start spreading because of the fear of Saul. And so the word of God says, start from the Jerusalem and go to uttermost part of the world. But they didn't understand at that particular time. Just like a people were building the Tower of Babel, they don't want to spread anywhere. And that's the thing that disciples start doing. We don't want to leave the Jerusalem. Let's stay here. But the persecution came, and then they spread everywhere. And now, everywhere the churches are. Some people say, oh, we should not be gathering on Sundays because Sabbath is the day they went to synagogue. First day of the week, Jesus Christ is risen. So we go into church to celebrate that Jesus' resurrection. We are happy to go to church on Sunday. We can worship Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all days. Every day is God's day. So there are people making all kinds of excuses. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. You have called us with a definite high calling. You said, I will come and bring my Father, and we will make our home in you. And then you said, I will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide you, lead you, teach you, and take you in all truth. So Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to you. You have given us everything what we need to preach the gospel around the world. And you have given us that same power so we can do signs and wonders and miracles in your name. Because you have already said in the book of St. John chapter 14, verse 12, whatever the miracles I did, you will do also. And you will do greater miracles than me, because I am going to go to my Father. And so you did not keep us powerless, but you have given us the same power. So Lord Jesus, let the church, let the pastors, let the ministers study the word and be ready to receive the full gospel, not partial, not little, but all gospel. Receive all the power and do the signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. Give us grace and let us be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.